and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Happy New Year. Happy fasting. I am so excited. I've already seen a major increase in my spiritual life because of this fast. And we know that 2020, we are going to just blow this thing out of the water. Amen. Hallelujah. We seem excited today. Why don't we go around and ask five people for a high five? Can we do that? Can you just go around and ask five people for a high five? Ask them, are you ready to praise the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, let's get ready to praise Jesus. Come up towards the front. Let's enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise.
Praise it.
was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And in my Father's house, there's a place.
Not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
because we're children of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you just raise up your hands right now and just get ready to receive what the Spirit of God has for you. He deserves all of our praise right now. Not another moment is going to go by without us giving you praise, Jesus.
Lord, I praise you.
Lord, I praise you.
Lord, I praise you. I was saying in first service how that song, sometimes for some of you, is just music. But sometimes things happen in your life that really make that song alive in your life. And, you know, most people think pastors' lives are just perfect. They only work 1 hour a week and everything is good. But, you know, we had New Year's Eve service here, and if you missed it, wow, what a great service. But my wife was ill that day, and she was not feeling well, and so she stayed home. Her belly was hurting, and I said, you know, I think that's the first service you've ever missed, right? Ever missed. And so she stayed home, and I came to service, and my son Chad really felt led of the Holy Spirit to go, and I think she had just vomited and felt better, and so I went to go pick her up. And when he got there, she wasn't feeling any better, and actually was feeling worse. And so Chad was there with her. And if you know anything about my wife, she doesn't go to the doctor for nothing if she can help it. And yeah, and all of a sudden she looked at Chad and she said, I need to go to the emergency room. So she said something's desperately wrong. And so they took her to the emergency room, and I got a text. I was still preaching here. We were still in service, laying hands on folks, ministering to people. And so I got the text that she was in the emergency room, and right after service, I took right off to go there. And while we were there, I mean, she looked really, just don't want to talk badly about you, but you look really bad. And I took pictures. Because I knew it would turn into a testimony. But she looked very bad, and the doctors are rushing around, literally rushing around, and they were really concerned, and they gave her liquid IV, and then they gave her saline, and they gave her all this stuff, and the word was critical. And so we weren't sure what was exactly happening. They took a CT scan, and she had a full impacted bowel, right? Is that what they call it? A full blockage. There was nothing coming out in any way, shape, or form. It was a full block. If you're a nurse, you know what that means. They don't come loose on their own. That's usually operation. And so they were trying to stabilize her, and we got a hold of Rochester, and finally they stabilized her, and we were getting ready to ship her off. And Pastor Andrea and I were there praying over her, and I know our family was praying and seeking the Lord, just speaking life that she'd be able to. What it was, she just needed to go to the bathroom. But once it's packed like that, it doesn't happen unless you're gonna cut. And we finally heard, actually a few days ago, that Brother Teddy and Sister Carolyn were woken up at 2:30 in the morning, and were told to pray for her. And also, my mom was woken up at 3 a.m., and I know others were as well. Chris Banfield and some others were awoken in the nighttime to pray for her at that very period of time. And so we started praying, and all of a sudden, between, I don't remember exactly, 2:30 to 3, she said, I feel like I have to go to the bathroom. And they brought in a stool, and praise God, she went to the bathroom. Now, I'm going to explain what that actually means later on here. So we still had to go to Rochester because it's still, she was very critical. So they threw her in an ambulance. They had the ENG tube down, pumping her stomach, because I guess what happens when there's a blockage, after a while it goes up into your stomach and then goes up into your esophagus and then asphyxiates you. So they pump in her stomach, making sure that any fecal matter that went into the stomach would come out. We drove her all the way to Rochester. She got to Rochester, went to the bathroom a few more times. Like at 5:30 in the morning, it was a long day. 5:30 in the morning or so, the doctor came in. And he said, she said, I want this out. And he goes, I'm not going to take it out because I don't want to have to put it back in. And so they watched her for a little bit. She went to the bathroom again. And he finally walked in and he said, we can take it out. He took it out. Yeah, everything was unplugged completely. So our bowel was completely cleaned out. They shipped her up to a room. She was in a room, that's all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, and half a Friday. Not even plugged into a monitor. No IVs. Nothing plugged into her. She was completely healthy, whole. Doctor came on Friday and let her know, you are at the closest place of death. There was no other place to go but up. And it's amazing when you realize that this week I could be standing here without her, but God. Amen. They don't just come unplugged. And so I want to thank Jesus this morning. So this song means a little bit more than just a song. And I want to challenge you. Some of you have played with God for so long, and I thank the Lord. Honestly, I thank God that our faith level is where it's at, not because we're pastors, but because we know God. Because what would have happened? I might have been standing here alone if our faith level hadn't been where it was at. Don't wait till the trouble comes to build your faith. Don't wait. Some of you played with church, you're still toying with God. I mean, you got enough salvation to get you out of hell, but that's about it. But man, don't wait till trouble licks your toes. So I want to challenge you to really press into God. Because we were walking, we went from Friday at the hospital, and the doctor told us she pretty much was dead, no place to go but up, to where we were going to Pastor Dan's birthday party. So she says, I can't wear what I'm wearing. I bought her a Harley shirt. I don't know what the problem was. She said, we got to go to the mall. So we went to the mall. We're walking at the mall. She had to go to Loft at that. We walk into Loft, coming out of Loft, and I'm realizing, and I looked at her and I said, do you realize that if God hadn't moved, then you would be buying clothes today? If my son Chad wasn't led by the Holy Spirit to go to the house, I would have come home from the service on New Year's Eve and she would have been dead. And so this song means more than just, you deserve it. I mean, I wouldn't have a wife today. You wouldn't have an amazing pastor today. Really, she is an amazing pastor. So God is awesome, isn't he? I said, God is awesome, isn't he? He deserves it. You deserve it.
Come on, praise him.
You deserve it.
Sing, you deserve it.
You deserve it.
Hallelujah.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Lord, I praise you.
Lord, I praise you.
Lord, I praise you.
Lord, I praise you.
Sing.
deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Jesus, we just want to say thank you. You are so worthy to be praised. God, not just because of saving our lives, but God also for saving our lives. Time and time again, Jesus, you've showed up even when we did not know it. You've sent your angels when we were not even aware. God, you delivered us so many different times. And Lord, we are so grateful for your goodness to our lives. Thank you, Jesus, that you are faithful. Thank you that you are loving. Thank you that you are a good Father, and we love you today. Jesus, we are honored to serve you. We are honored to love you. And today we just want to say, we genuinely love you, Jesus. And declare without any reservation, without you, we would be nothing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? Can you give God a hand of praise for saving my wife? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what trouble you're going through, but if God will save one, he'll save the other. God loves nobody any more than anybody else. Big part is that you and I got to know him. Not know about him. Knowing about him ain't going to do it. That was good English. You got to know God. You got to know God. And this year, you're going to get serious with God. I said, this year, you're going to get serious with God. Some of you played, you pandered. This year, you got to get serious with God. Brother Terry was telling me he was been searching. I just saw him a second ago. Now he's gone. Oof, maybe got raptured. Nope, I'm still here. He was telling me he wanted to do some investing in the stock market. He said, Pastor, I just don't think people realize how close Jesus is. He said, I'm doing research to find the best stocks that are going to have the greatest increase in the future, and they're all aiming at the one world government, at one world money systems. Everything is aiming at the Antichrist coming. We're talking like near future. Jesus is coming. And man, if you've never been right, I'm talking like right, this is your year. You got to get right. Stop playing games. I love you. But can you imagine if my wife had been playing games with God? Not saved. To say she wasn't saved, she probably wouldn't be here. This is not a fictitious story. By the way, I forgot to say there was a CT scan taken to prove the blockage. So it's not just a theory. It wasn't the doctors guessing. It's a true miracle. If God will do a miracle for one, he'll do a miracle for you. Amen? But you got to know him. On your way back to your chair, why don't you welcome five or six folks you don't know? Come on now, don't be a snob. Don't just go sit down. Turn around to somebody and say, good morning, God is good. Come on, we're a friendly church. Come on now, you still have a minute and 5 seconds left. 58, 57, come on, be quick, turn around, tell somebody, Jesus loves you.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we all doing? Hi. Welcome to church. It is the first Sunday of the year, and you could not have picked a better place to be today. So give your hand, give yourselves a round of applause for being here. Awesome. We want to welcome our live stream, people who are tuning in. Thank you for joining us. You are family as well. If we have any first-time guests here who have not received a bag already, can you please raise your hands? We want to make sure we welcome you and say hi and get to know you. Keep them up high. We got people coming. After service, there's actually a guest reception on this side of the building. There's fresh coffee, and they keep all the good snacks there, too. And you can meet some of our staff. We'd love to get a chance to meet you. So please find your way over there after service. We just have a couple quick things for you today. We want to let you know that there are personal budgeting classes starting next Tuesday at 6:30. The next four Tuesdays, they're being held with Miss Carla Vischer. She is amazing with finances and will impart so much wisdom to you. It is the perfect time to get your money in order, right? We don't want your money to control you. You need to take control of your money. So please seek her out. You can sign up online or at the welcome desk. We also want to let you know that baptisms are coming around again. We love Baptism Sunday here. It is January 19th. Please consider signing up if you've been thinking about it for a while. It's never too late. There's always a time for it. So please consider that. You can sign up at the welcome desk or online as well. And if you could please turn your attention to the screens, we have a few video announcements.
Hey family, are you looking to grow closer in your relationship with God and learn more about what you believe as a Christian? Or are you new here and looking to get more connected but not sure how? That's why we've designed the classes Next Steps and Growth Track. These classes were specifically designed to help you grow, learn, and become more connected with what we do here as a family at His Tabernacle. For more information, check us out online or visit us at the information desk out front.
One of my favorite times of our church is coming up, and that is our time of corporate fasting and prayer. This is when we're gonna get together as a corporate body and begin to seek the face of the Lord as we believe for supernatural breakthrough for the upcoming year. This year, I'm also excited to let you know that we have expanding our time of fasting and prayer from January 2nd to January 16th. We're gonna have 2 weeks of going on a Daniel fast. We're gonna give you guys all the information for you to be successful in that. We will still maintain our services on January 5th through January 8th. Be on the lookout on social media and the website for more information. But begin to prepare your heart, begin to prepare your mind, and we believe that 2020 will be the greatest year yet, and it will kick off with fasting and prayer.
Hey, it's Tabernacle family. I want to invite you to our Freedom Weekend event. This event is perfect if you're a new believer. The dates are January 10th and 11th, and there's just a $10 admission fee to cover your lunch. We really want to see what God's going to do in your life. For more information, visit our website or go to the Information Center out front.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? All right, come on. This is second service. We got to do better. We got to do better than first service. Good morning. How's everybody doing? See, that was better. That was improvement. I like improvement. And today, I'm going to talk about money because money's not a weird thing to talk about anywhere. And money's not a weird thing to talk about in church. It's something that a lot of us spend a lot of time thinking about. We plan our futures around. And I want to encourage you what the Bible says about money. Because the Bible says a lot about, well, everything that's important to us. And it talks about finances. What does God say, or what does the Bible say about our wants, though? You look at Psalm chapter 23, even verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Right? Isn't that such a great promise? That when the Lord is my shepherd, I won't want. I shall not want at all. Can you say that real quick? I shall not want. That's good. I don't want to get too repeaty this morning, but I shall not want. What a great promise from heaven. See, if we want our wants fulfilled, there's a couple things we can do. Number one, it's giving him worship. In Psalm 34, verse 9, it says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, For there is no there's no want to those who truly revere and worship him with godly fear. When we obey God and when we worship, the Bible's promising that we won't have any wants. When we ask God to fulfill our wants, according to Psalm 34, verse 10, it says, they who seek the Lord, none of them shall lack any beneficial thing. I love those promises. How simple is it to worship, obey, and ask, and we'll have our wants fulfilled. And then last, to make sure our wants are guaranteed to be taken care of. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, if you give little, you'll get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will only get a small crop, but if he plants much, he will reap much. See, if we want to make sure that our wants are 1,000% taken care of, not only do we worship, not only do we ask, but we give. And when we give, we know the Lord is our shepherd and I shall not want. And here, you don't have to give. Look, we're not going to kick you out. We're not going to revoke your membership because we don't have one. Amen. This is optional. Some people say, well, they require you to give. No, there's no requirement. We just encourage you to obey the word of God so that your wants can be taken care of. Amen? Amen. On your seat today as we prepare to give our tithe and offering, and tithe is just 10% what the Lord teaches. There's an envelope on your seat. Maybe you want to text to give. Maybe you want to give online at histabernacle.com/give. But this morning, I want to challenge you to make sure your wants are taken care of by setting yourself up for success. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Here we do it a little bit differently. We have you bring your offering to the Lord up at the front. And we have a supernatural declaration that this morning, Sierra is going to help us with. Come on, Sierra. She's going to do so good. She's been coming to the church since she was like 14, maybe younger. I don't know. But she's going to go ahead and share this, and we're going to repeat with her.
I just want to say he's been doing this to me since I was like 12, since I've been coming here. All right, so if I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. And I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to trip me up. Did I miss a part? They're going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up again. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Go ahead and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching on live, the service is not over. And if you'd like an opportunity to give, you can go to histabernacle.com/give. We love you, and get ready for the rest of the service.
Oh, is free.
Praise the Lord. We are so excited about the new theme this year where God is speaking. It is called Unstoppable, the Supernatural Church. We have some t-shirts. Amen. We're going to give some away this morning. And so who would like a t-shirt? Whoa. Here you go. Here we go. We also have a mug. Who's going to... Wow, you're quick. Wow. Wow. So we have some mugs out there. And we also have, don't forget, we have grow books. Grow books are for you to walk with us for the whole month in all the messages that are being preached. So every day there's something for you to do in a grow book. On the back page is how to make your faith wall. All these are available. The Supernatural Church, these are $10 out in the foyer. If you would like one, I think everyone should have one because it keeps you going with the messages all month long. So if you'd like one, Come on, baby, run and grab that thing. We are so blessed. We are blessed today also to have with us, I need the microphone, with us, Greg Klerr. Greg, if you'll come on out. Are you going to come up with your husband? Janita, come on up here, please. Come on up here, young lady. Oh, well. This is Greg and Janita Klerr. They're Pastor Jade's mom and dad from South Africa.
It's really great to be here, Pastor Michael, Pastor Rhonda. But let me tell you, this is like being away from home and back at home. You know what I mean? It's. Let me tell you, the same Spirit of God that's moving here is moving where we're from.
Amen.
So, no, really, I just felt I needed to share this because when people are getting saved, when people are getting healed,
yes.
When you see the Spirit of God moving, when people are praying in tongues,
yes.
When people are worshiping like you worship here, it's exactly the same at our church.
Amen.
So literally, we walked out of that door and into yours, and we feel at home. And it's lovely to be with you. It really is.
Amen. Say something.
What should I say?
Give me a break.
It's awesome to be here, and we love you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Love to be here.
And we traitors, because we should be at Ithaca.
Oh! Now, what's really interesting is Janita is so much fun, and her and I banter a lot. You know.
He's older than me.
Yeah, watch, I turned it off. I turned it off on her so she couldn't say anything more. But I'm just blessed to have them. They are tremendous, tremendous people. How many miles are you away from here?
I think it's about 15,000. I think so.
15,000? Oh, kilometers. They're a long ways away.
It's like 15,000 miles.
All I know is we are so blessed. And it's important for you to realize that God is moving in Africa, South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
South Africa, and he's moving here too. How many, is anybody else in our congregation from Africa, somewhere in Africa? Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Right there. Praise the Lord. Where are you from, brother?
Antonio.
Uganda? Awesome. Pastor Obi's from Nigeria. Anybody else? No, yeah, I'm talking. Oh, there we go. Where? Where? Kenya. Very good. Also, how many from the islands? How many folks from the islands here? From where? Jamaica. Anybody else? Anybody else from the islands? LaRue's not here. He's usually here. I think he's Jamaica as well. No, he's from Bahamas. Amen. So I thank God. There are 20 nations in our church. We're very blessed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I just want to say we love you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. We love you too.
I'm fine.
They are really amazing people. This coming Tuesday, Brother Greg will be teaching. For those who don't know, I do a leadership training every single Tuesday from noon to 1. It is free, and we've been doing it for almost 6 years. If you are a business person or love business or just want to grow in business understanding, we have that available for you, and he's going to be teaching. Now, he oversees and runs, I think, 40-plus companies within the church. So he is an amazing businessman. So you don't want to miss his training this coming Tuesday at his tabernacle right here in this building. And it will be right on this side from noon to 1, and it's free. So I'd encourage you to be there. I'm so excited about this year's theme. But my problem is when we say theme, it kind of bothers me because I don't believe it's a theme. You see, I know that God speaks prophetically to his church. God is a supernatural God, and he speaks supernaturally to his church through a prophetic unction, and God uses the man of God of the house or the woman of God of the house to set the prophetic direction for the kingdom of God. What I love so much, even last year, if you remember last year, was the year of... Dear Lord, it was only a few days ago. Last year was the year of... Next level. How many of you went to the next level last year? You found that God brought you to a new place in your walk with him, your maturity, your development, your faith. It was such an exciting year. But I want to remind you that you and I have to position ourselves for where we're going. You see, if you want to drive your car, you can't sit in the house and say, I want to drive my car. You've got to go get out of your house, get in your car, put your key in the, push the button and drive away. You have to position yourself. And it's the same way in the spirit. God speaks prophetically over all the earth. What I love about our God is that God has a direction for his church. Many people just preach messages. In fact, I don't know if you know it or not, but many pastors have a book. And in that book is the sermons for the year. Did y'all know that? You can buy a book, and in that book is all the sermons for all year long already done for you. It's a really good deal. Or you can get online and go to sermoncentral.com. And you can fill out any sermon you want. And many pastors, and I'm not bashing pastors, but I want to let you know something concerning the prophetic direction of God. In this house, we're not interested in pulling a sermon. We're interested in hearing from the Lord. We want to know where God wants to take us, how God wants to take us, and how we're going to get there individually and corporately so that we can fulfill God's purpose for our lives. The fact is that every one of you have a destiny that God has foreordained before the foundations of the earth. The challenge we have is fulfilling that. And many people will fulfill the days on this earth, lay in their bed, in their hospital bed, or when they're getting ready to die, and look back and see that they made no impact on the planet. They live a life of regret. But I'm here to tell you in this house, we're constantly going to push you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. We're going to challenge you. Sometimes you're going to hate me, and that's okay too, because I'm going to push you as hard as I can to bring you to the place where you're going to make a decision that I'm positioning myself with the prophetic word to fulfill God's plan for my life in 2020. You know, there are people that have gone through 19 and they're the same person. How dreadful. How dreadful to be the same person with the same thoughts, the same spiritual capacity, the same family capacity, and being no different. How horrible is it that people go sometimes a decade that way, maybe 20 years that way, a quarter of a century. It's time to make a decision in your life that I'm a person that God has foreordained to be here. He has planned for my breath to be in my lungs. God purposed me right here at this time and at this season to fulfill his purpose for my life. And I will position myself for 2020. I am going to see God use me in a manner that he's never used me before. We are unstoppable. We are the supernatural church. Many people don't understand the power of the supernatural. In fact, many churches have been lulled to sleep, and they're in a position to where now they no longer are moving in the supernatural. They no longer are expecting the supernatural. The average church in America sees less than one soul saved a year. I'd close the shop. Say amen. But you see, many people are no longer in church having a pull in God's kingdom to see maturation and growth and development. Mainly what's happening is they're religious folk. They go to church, they think the church is going to get them to heaven, and then they wake up on the wrong side. Church isn't going to get you to heaven. Say amen. Church will not get you to heaven. Your mommy and daddy ain't going to get you to heaven. Say amen. Being a good person and sincere does not get you to heaven. Say amen. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. And in a relationship with Jesus, that no relationship stays steady. If it does, it ends up dying. You've got to mature in your relationship. Oh, you've heard it said by people, maybe even by yourself. Well, I love you, but I'm no longer in love with you. That's a farce and foolishness. Because if you were in love with them, then you will continue to mature your love and grow in love with them. You cannot fall in and or out of love. If you can fall in, you can fall out. But you grow in love and maturity in your relationship with Jesus. And this is the power of the prophetic word. That when the man of God or the woman of God stands behind the pulpit, and now you're going to start hearing it resounded all over the nation and all over the world as God is starting to speak and bring forth what his desire is and where he wants to bring the corporate church at large in these last days, and God is speaking. You must grab that prophetic word. I love what Paul said to Timothy, that he had received the prophetic words and he should fight a good warfare with those prophecies. Prophecy, the Bible says, do not despise prophecy. Prophecy is powerful because it literally dials us in to the direction that God's design is for that time and that season. When there is no prophetic word, in fact, the Bible says that God always reveals it to his prophets first. The prophets are extremely important. Now, I don't claim to be a prophet, but I do have a prophetic word for 2020. I did hear from God in the month of October, and God told me very clearly before I talked to anybody, he said, I want 2020 to be about unstoppable, the supernatural church. It's time for the church to rise. It's time for us to take our posture. It's time for us to take a position. It's time for us to stop sitting back in dormant mode and start rising to the occasion and being the supernatural church that will bring the evidence from heaven to earth that God is alive and not dead. This is not going to happen on accident. This is not going to happen for people just to listen. You have got to say, I am in where God is going to take me in this prophetic vision, and I will fulfill my portion of this, and I will make God proud, and I will bring glory to his name, for my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Amen or oh my. See, the church must be and is unstoppable. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But the truth is, the gates of hell have prevailed against many churches. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church at large, the kingdom of God. But you will find the gates of hell have prevailed against churches. And the majority of churches that are in the process right now, come on now, 9,000 churches are closing a year in America. The churches that are closing, the churches that are shutting the doors, the churches that are selling their buildings and they're making them a house or they're making them an art show, usually you'll get down and you'll start to see that those churches have extracted the Holy Spirit and the supernatural from the very vital signs of the kingdom of God. I'm here to tell you, your God is supernatural. Your God is all powerful. And his church is not weak, is not... I just was going to say a thing, so I'm going to change that. The church is not impotent. I'll just say it here. The church is not impotent. The church is powerful. If the Holy Ghost is allowed to move and reign as he desires, the church is not weak. The church is powerful. The church is unstoppable. The supernatural church is unstoppable in our region for the glory of God. Our verse for the year is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. And it says this, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration. Everybody shout demonstration.
Demonstration.
Shout demonstration.
Demonstration.
But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be built upon the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. You know, as my wife was laying in that hospital bed and literally, this was New Year's Eve, looked really bad. She looked really bad. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, you got to move. And I'm hearing Pastor Andrea over in the corner praying in tongues. She didn't care who was in the room and who wasn't in the room. She praying in tongues, man, and bringing the supernatural right in the room. And all of a sudden, I looked and I just felt it well up in my spirit. And I said, I'm believing God that Rhonda is going to be the first fruits of the year of the supernatural in this church. And sure enough, God raised her up. God touched her. Listen. That she should not have gone to the bathroom. That should not have occurred. She went and praise the Lord. She was set free and free indeed. And I'm here to tell you, she's the first fruits of unstoppable, the supernatural church of his tabernacle. We're going to see signs and wonders like we've never seen before. We're going to see people healed of cancer. We're going to see people healed of diabetes. We're going to see people healed of skin diseases. We're going to see people healed of eye diseases. We're going to see people set free in Jesus' name where people have given up. I want you to know God has never given up. Where there is no hope, I want you to know the unstoppable God has hope, and we are the supernatural church, and we'll see the supernatural released in this house and set the captives free. You see, there's a difference between going to a church and going to church. We've got to know that it is important that you and I keep our eyes on the vision where God is taking us. Jesus said the words that he gave were not just words of nice things, but they were words of power. We need power. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need God to move in a manner that will take the breath away of people. Acts chapter 2, when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, all the people watching, they sat back and they said, what's going on here? I've never seen this before. I don't understand this. It's a wonder. I can't wait for the wonder of God to infiltrate the church again so that we sit back and we go, I don't understand that. I can't wrap my head around that. That's right, because you can't wrap your head around God. He is all powerful. He is supernatural. There's nothing that he cannot accomplish. And God is the God of miracles because God is living in the miraculous world. We've got to raise our expectation. We are unstoppable. I don't know what weapon's been formed against you, but I know this, that with God on your side, you cannot fail. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. They're going to come against you one way, and they're going to flee seven ways. Why? Because God is on your side. I'm not talking church. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking the one who said, let there be, and there was. I'm talking about the one who walked on water. I'm talking about the one who raised the dead from death. I'm here talking about the one who raised from the death himself. I'm talking about the one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I'm talking about the one who's coming soon. The trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I can't wait for the trumpet to sound. Jesus is coming. And he's got to have his church ready because we got a lot of work to do.
Well, you know, I don't really want to do work. I just want to go sit there.
Wrong church. Honest. It's very rare you're going to have a pastor say wrong church, but honestly, there comes a place when you got to get off your hiney and do something. Say amen or oh my. Amen. God wants to use you. You've been created for his glory. You are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ, not sitting on your hiney. Say amen.
Amen.
Hineys get wider. Cost more because you got to buy new pants. You know, I think we just need to start realizing that this prophetic word is for you and I. As you and I are unstoppable, the supernatural church, that we have a purpose on the planet. The devil thought he had Jesus. Man, Christ died on that cross. He thought he was all victorious at that point. You can imagine the celebration in hell at that very moment when Jesus died on that cross. He thought, I killed the Messiah. I finally got rid of the one who was going to give hope to people. Remember, the first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought life. So here Jesus is dead in the grave. But man, there was a rumble going on. That rumble was down even in Abraham's bosom as Christ started to apply the blood. And I want you to know that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, that our Messiah, our Savior, our King, our Lord, the I am that I am. He took away the keys of death and hell from the devil. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 declares that he made an open spectacle, an open show of the devil. He embarrassed him in the entire spiritual realm. He took complete victory over all the power of the devil. You see, he thought he got him, but he lost. And I want you to know, as children of God, turn to someone and say, I'm a child of God. As a child of God, you are an ambassador of heaven. You are a representation of heaven on earth. God lives inside of you. If you're born again, shout amen.
Amen.
I said, if you're born again, shout amen.
Amen.
If you're born again, then you are literally possessed by God himself, but you have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means that with God inside of you, there's nothing that can overpower you, nobody that can destroy you, nothing, no weapon formed against you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You are unstoppable, the supernatural church. I said you are unstoppable, the supernatural church. You see, when you start recognizing who you are, you stop walking around whining all the time.
Well, you know, I can't wait for the Lord to come. Lord Jesus. The world is so ugly. The world is so violent. The world is so bad. Oh, shut up.
For goodness sakes. That might be the world, but you're not of this world. You're a sojourner. The Bible says that you have the very armor of heaven inside of you and on you, that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on now, put your shoulders back, lift your head up high, and declare, I am unstoppable. I am unstoppable because I am the supernatural church. See, when you understand who you are, you don't walk the same way you used to walk. You don't talk the same way you used to talk. When trouble comes down your trail, maybe you can address it in a different way. You don't have to say, oh, God, man, I hope you show up. But you know God is going to show up because he said he promises. His truth is yea and amen. God cannot lie. I'm here to tell you not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it all comes to fruition. God is on your side. God not only loves you, God not only can do it, God will do it because he loves you. You see, when we understand this, everything changes. The devil's working desperately to keep the supernatural church down. And in many cases, like 9,000 a year, he's winning. In the next probably 6 years, five, 6 years, I know of four churches in our local area that are going to close their doors. They're going to close because they got no money. Everybody in the church is at least 70 plus. When they die, there's nobody left. Why? Because nobody's getting saved. Because nobody, they've lost their mission. And you see, every church can lose their mission if they're not focused on God's design for why they're there. In 2020, we are unstoppable, the supernatural church. If we lose sight of the call of God in our lives, then we're just going to be a nice little religious institution in the middle of a cornfield. But I'm here to tell you, we are not ever going to be a little church in the middle of a cornfield. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are focused on where we're going, and we're going to accomplish God's task. We're going to seek and to save them which are lost. We're going to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We're going to cast out devils in Jesus' name. We're going to set the captives free. Those that are in addiction, they're going to be set free in the name of Jesus. We're going to see God take back our region. For God is able, God is willing, and he's just waiting for his supernatural church to rise. Turn to somebody and say, unstoppable! The supernatural church. Man, he has sucked so many even believers in away from the supernatural. How has he done that? He's done that by making the supernatural of no true effect. Or getting our attention of the supernatural off of the one who created and said the creation. One 900 psychic, $2 billion a year. That's what they make. Why? Because people want to hear. People are interested in the supernatural. Reiki's on a rise like I've never seen before. It amazes me on watching how this demonic activity is now taking traction even within the Christian church. It should take our breath away to realize that we're exchanging God's best for demonic, not even close to. I was talking to a doctor not too long ago, and they were talking about a wellness center and said, you know, this wellness center, we have this in it, this in it, this in it, and Reiki's in it. You can have Reiki too. And I looked at her, and I said, what are you talking about? I said, you know something? If I said that we're going to lay hands on people in the name of Jesus and see them healed, you're going to look at me like I got six heads twisted in four different directions. But you will allow Reiki to be something that is available and even paid by insurance? The world has gone so twisted away from our God, but because the demonic are willing to manifest their supernatural power while the church is quiet because they don't want to offend anybody. We've got to make a decision. We are the supernatural church, or we're just a natural church. If we're a natural church, then let's just change the name church to clubhouse. Yeah. Amen. We are the church. Yeah. We are God's family. Yeah. This is God's kingdom on earth. Yeah. We are the people that carry the very presence of heaven. The Bible says that the kingdom of God dwells within you, that you and I, as sons and daughters, we represent heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does that happen? By the sons and daughters of God bringing heaven to earth through the faith, the manifestation, the power of God, seeing God work through them to see people's lives transformed in Jesus' name. We got to make a decision. The enemy's working hard even on the preachers. And I'm telling you, this is one of the big things. And not speaking against, but listen now, I have a lot of preachers that watch this program every Sunday morning. If the power of God's not in your church, the first thing the pastor has to do is look at his life for offense. The Bible says that offense nullifies the power of God. There are a lot of pastors that have been hurt and wounded by people in the body of Christ. One of the most dangerous jobs to have is a pastor. The people that you love in front are stabbing you in the back. But yet, that was the life of Christ. And Christ had and taught the body of Christ not to learn to live with an offense, because offense nullifies the power of God in your life. And if the pastor has offense in his life, then he's void of the power of God standing behind the pulpit. If he's void of the power of God standing behind the pulpit, then how can the power of God flow within the congregation? And if it doesn't flow in the congregation, then you've just created a club. It's important to recognize there are actual movements out, demonic movements that call themselves Christian. And I believe, I'm not going to say they're not saved, but I'm telling you now they're nullifying the power of God. It's called cessationalism. What that is that they come in, I didn't say sensationalism, cessationalism, sensationism. That's the word. And what it means is this: they'll preach salvation, but they won't preach the power of God. They believe the power of God stopped in the first century church. I'm here to tell you, we need the power of God more now than we've ever needed the power of God. We need Jesus to show up and heal the sick. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Jesus healed all manner of sickness. Jesus would go into an area and heal all the sick, not some of the sick, not a few of the sick. The word all is spoken so many times, even in the book of Acts. They went into the city and healed all the sick. God wants to raise you up to be a person that will lay hands on sick people and see them recover at your work, at your play, in your circle of influence. This is not religion. This is why you're alive today. You're alive because God's got a purpose for you. God's got purpose for you. I said, God's got purpose for you. The Bible says that we are to preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I'm here to tell you, God has not changed his mind. God has not changed his Bible. God has not changed his mindset. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's called you and I to be people of the supernatural, to be people of power, to be people of authority. But we can't be that if we don't believe that. This is a dividing factor in the body of Christ. People are uncomfortable around the supernatural. They should be. It's not natural. Well, you know, I like to be in control. Well, then you can't have the supernatural working in your life. Super means above your ability. Man, we need the supernatural so powerfully in the body of Christ today, because so many have put their faith in a man's words and even sitting back and saying, well, I believe in the Bible, but there is no Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what happens when persecution comes, when there is no Holy Ghost. There is no power, but you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. The word witness there means martyr. You shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God. We need the supernatural like we've never needed before. And this year, when you and I align ourselves with the prophetic mantle, align ourselves with the prophetic word, we will be unstoppable. It doesn't matter what they try to do. It doesn't matter what even doctors say. And I love doctors, but I believe they are practicing. And I believe they're doing the best they can. But I thank God for Jesus, because they couldn't have done nothing for her. She'd already been dead. We've got to make a decision. Is this prophetic word for me or is it not? I want you to see the power of miracles. Acts chapter 2, the day they got baptized and the Holy Ghost began to speak with other tongues. Well, I'm not sure about that tongues. Read your Bible. It's right there. God didn't erase anything. Paul said, I even speak in tongues more than you all. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can I hear an amen or am I? The day they were baptized and the Holy Ghost began to speak with other tongues, that day Peter stood up because that sign and that wonder mesmerized them. They marveled. They could not understand. That's right. The supernatural brings people to a lack of understanding because they can't wrap their head around that God, the God of heaven, the God of the supernatural, the King of kings and Lord of lords is more powerful than the things of this earth. All of a sudden, he started preaching the gospel, and that day, 3,000 men gave their hearts to Jesus Christ because of a sign and a wonder, because of speaking with other tongues. And that day, that's just 3,000 men. That doesn't include the women and the children. They figure between 10 and 15,000 people were born again that day because of a sign and a wonder. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were walking by the gate. Beautiful. There was a man who'd been there for so many years. And he was there because he was a cripple. He could not move. He did not have the capacity. They would bring him in the morning, drop him off. He would try to get change and try to make a living that way as a beggar. But man, they walked up to him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to rise and walk. And he grabbed him by the hand and picked him up. And the man jumped to his feet, started bouncing around the temple. That day, I want you to hear me now, because of the sign and the wonder, because of the supernatural, guess what happened? 5,000 more men gave their hearts to Jesus Christ because of the supernatural power of God. There were believers, man, they heard about Peter and how Peter moved in the supernatural. And they said, if we can just get our friends and our relatives, the people that we know that are sick, out to the street, when Peter's shadow touches him, I know that that will heal them. And so they would line their friends up. They would line their family up along the street. And when Peter would walk by to go to the temple, his shadow would touch them and their spirit would rise. Their faith would rise. And all of a sudden, they'd get healed. They'd be coming off the ground, miraculously set free in the name of Jesus because of a shadow. Oh, I love this one. It's one of my favorites. The Bible says that in the book of Acts, Philip went and preached the gospel. And he not only preached the gospel, signs and wonders. Miracles were all over Samaria. And the Bible said there was a great joy that came upon the whole city. And guess what? The entire city got saved because of signs and wonders and miracles. I want you to hear me now. I declare in Jesus' name. I know what people think about it. Well, you know, Elmira, I wish I could just get out of here. Well, you know, Elmira's so bad. I don't care how bad you think Elmira is. Elmira does not belong to the devil. Elmira belongs to God. I declare in Jesus' name that this entire county shall be saved, that shall hear the gospel of Christ. Well, I just don't think that's possible. An entire city got saved called Samaria. What can God do when miracles and signs and wonders start being released within his church? We are unstoppable. We are the supernatural church. I believe Tompkins County can get saved. Well, you know, Ithaca's just so full of the devil. Get out, devil. You have no more power because God's house is there. That's right. His Tabernacle Family Church sitting up on 609 West Clinton Street might seem like a little thing, but it is a hiding place. And all of a sudden, as they're starting to share the gospel, as signs and wonders are starting to be released, all of a sudden that church is growing. I want you to know they started with 12. Now they're running over 180 people in less than just over a year. That's just the beginning. I'm declaring in Jesus' name that that will be a church of over 800 and 1,000 people, and that people from all over the world, because of the colleges, will come down, get saved, bring the revival back to their hometowns, and see God move. Mansfield shall be saved. Steuben County shall be saved. Schuyler County shall be saved. Tioga County shall be saved, both in New York and in Pennsylvania. You see, God has called us. not called me. He's called us. He's called us to do the work of heaven. And as a supernatural church, there's nothing we can't do. As a supernatural church, there's no miracle that's not available to us. We've got to make a decision that I'm going to be a person of the supernatural. That this year I'm going to be empowered, I'm going to be trained, I'm going to be developed how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I'm going to be empowered to lead my friends to Jesus. I'm going to be empowered how to cast out devils. That's right. I'm going to teach you about demons, and I'm going to teach you how to cast them out in Jesus' name. I'm going to teach you how to get somebody that is so steeped in drug addiction, how to be free in Jesus' name. Why? Because he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm not talking religion. Religion can't provide that. I'm talking Jesus Christ, the Son of God, risen, sitting at the right hand of the Father, working through his church called the body. And Jesus Christ is the head. And we will do as God has called us to do and see this region saved in the name and in the power of Jesus. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Oh, you're letting me outshout you? See, 2020 is not just a year. It's your year. It's your year if you want it to be. I can't make anybody step into the prophetic. I can't make anybody lay hold of the promises of heaven. But baby, I'm going to push you as fast as I can. Because God has a phenomenal plan for your life. And you, I don't care how much money you make or how little money you make. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care what street you live on. God has placed you where you're at to bring the supernatural to where it's at, so that God will bring a transition to that region, that area, and God will set the captives free in Jesus' name through you. I got to get out of your head. Oh, this is about my status in the society. No, it's not. It's about your status in heaven. This is not about your status in church. It's about your status in heaven. This is not about what power you got in your pocket. This is about who you got living inside of you. Greater is he. I want you to realize this is God's power waiting to be released through you, the sons and daughters of God, but he can't release it unless you're accepting it. And this is the challenge of the body of Christ. Because it's easier not to accept the power of God, because then you got to do something with the power of God. God has a plan for you. You got to do something with it. Can I hear an amen or oh my?
Amen.
Oh my is available. Because not everybody wants to say amen. Some people just want to skate into heaven. But I'm here to tell you that you've got to realize this is not about a skating rink. This is not a game. This is eternity. Not just for you, but for the people God has placed you specifically on this planet to reach. And that's the challenge. There are people that only you are going to be able to reach. Only you. Well, God will send somebody else. Probably not. There are people in your sphere of influence that only you are going to have the privilege and opportunity to share the gospel with, and they give their hearts to Christ. And without you, they're lost. See, we've got to get in our spirit who we really are. Trials and tribulations come. I had them this week. She had them this week. They're real. That was real. That was real. It was real. As Pastor Andrea and I are sitting in that room praying, it's real. Seeing the doctors run around, it's real. But there's something more real than that. That is, God's kingdom is more real than anything this earth has. And I'm here to tell you that I live by the kingdom. It's time to rise in the kingdom. It's time to walk by faith and not by sight. It's time to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's time to fulfill the very days and why you're here. And God's plan for you is yea and amen. He's fixed you perfectly to do exactly what he's called you to do. He's empowering you with the Holy Ghost who dwells inside of you. And all the supernatural is available to you. It's time for the church to arise. I said it's time for the church to arise. It's time for the church to arise. Stop allowing the devil to steal your destiny. Get mad enough. Well, I was mad. I was mad. Can't have my wife. Who do you think you are? Can't touch my family. Who do you think you are? I know who I am. And I know have authority over all things. Watch now. On the earth, under the earth, and above the earth, and below the earth. I have authority in heaven where I can even release angels according to Hebrews chapter 1. I have authority in heaven where I can bring heaven to earth, the supernatural manifestation of God. I have authority on earth because as Jesus did, he spoke to the physical winds and waves and they had to cease. Jesus said, if you saw me do it, I'm going to give you greater works. And I have authority under the earth. Every demon in hell is subject to us in Jesus' name, according to Luke chapter 10. We are the church. Not the church. Well, I go to church. Yeah, I go to church over there. Church. We are the church. We are unstoppable. The supernatural church. Get out of my way, devil. There's nothing. Oh, come on now. I got to share this. I'll end with this. I've been doing a lot of study on David and Goliath. I like that study. And so I was watching, and as I was reading, I came to just some basic understanding. And what it was this, is that Goliath was over 9 feet tall, man. He was a monster, and he was huge, and he had brothers with him. You know, he wasn't all by himself. There was a whole army there as well. And they came out against the children of God, and they started mocking the children of God. They started mocking God himself. They started saying, you know, horrible, evil things against our God. And you know what the children of Israel did? They cowered. Even King Saul was afraid. He went and cowered in his tent. David's brothers, they were cowering. Now, we had this boy named David who was of no great report. He was not a master killer. He was not a master warrior. At that point, he was just a shepherd. And here's a boy who learned how to fight on his own out in the woods with his God. I want you to know, you got to learn how to pray. I said, you got to learn how to pray. You're not going to see the manifestation happen out here until you get it down in there. I got to get it in my home. Can I hear an amen? I got to get it in my home. All of a sudden, man, David's dad told him, go take this to your brothers. He got out there and he heard Goliath mocking the children of God, mocking God's kingdom. He said, listen, send somebody out to fight me. I'll kill him and you'll all become my slaves. But if you kill me, we'll become your slaves. David stood up and he goes, I've killed the bear and I've killed the lion. I know I can kill him. King Saul says, come to my tent. Brings him to his tent. He says, listen now, here's my armor. How brave. Here's my armor you can wear. I won't wear it, but you can wear it to go fight the giant. And David put it on, and it was cumbersome. It wasn't what it was supposed to be. And he said this, God gave me gifts. Come on now, God gave you gifts. Here he then grabs what he knows. He knows the sling and a stone. He grabbed 5 little stones. Come on now. The stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. His name is Jesus. And he came against Goliath. Goliath stood up there. I want you to realize your Goliaths are never coming alone. They always bring somebody else with them. Goliath brought the rest of the army, but he also brought a shield holder, a man that stood in front of him to hold his shield. And here, David looked at him, and he's mocking him. Giants will always try to intimidate your life. They'll always try to scare you. They'll always try to put fear in you. But the Bible tells me, for the Lord has not given me the spirit of fear or timidity, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That fear is a tormentor, and God, perfect love, casts out all fear. Fear has no place in your life. Fear is a devil. Fear is the opposite of faith and will destroy what God has for you. That's what the rest of the army was. They were in fear of this man. But David stood up and he said, I'm not coming to you in any other way, but in the name of the Lord my God. I want you to hear me now. It's powerful because Goliath heard that. And Goliath didn't whimper. He didn't whine. He didn't back down. This is what Goliath did. He started rushing David. Some of you think just telling the devil you got to back off is going to do it. I want you to know sometimes he's just going to rush you, trying to bring the fear in you. But I love what David did. He didn't cower back. He said, here we go. And he ran towards him. And he took that sling and he slung it. And that devil went down and he cut his head off. I'm here to tell you today, you are unstoppable. You are the supernatural church. With God on your side, you cannot fail. It's time to arise. I said, arise, church. I said, arise, church. In 2020. We are the church. And I'm here to tell you, we're not going to fail. We got a lot of work to do this year, so come on now, pull that belt buckle a little tighter. Maybe another week. You wonder why we're praying and fasting? Because some don't come up but by prayer and fasting. Sometimes you got to get that, belly in control. You heard me, you saw me post it the other day. It said simply this. It said, if you can't control your stomach, you'll never control the devil. Amen. You can't control your appetite, how are you ever going to bind the devil? You got to take authority in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to know this because I want you to hear that your pastor believes in this too. Well, on day 6 right now of straight water fast, my goal is 14. And then the last of the 21, I'm going to go Daniel fast. But I'm not doing that to appease or make anybody happy or to make myself look like anything to you. But you need to know that your pastor is a faster. Why is that? Because if your pastor don't fast, there is no power. If your pastor doesn't seek God, there is no power. For the anointing flows from the head down, not the feet up. And so I want you to fast with me tonight at 7 p.m. We're starting corporate prayer and fasting Sunday night at 7 p.m., Monday night at 7 p.m., Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m. This week starts tonight. You need to be here. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray the vision in. Can I hear an amen? I said, we're going to pray the vision in the name of Jesus. We're going to call those things which are not as though they already are. This is not religion. This is God moving supernaturally through the unstoppable supernatural church. That's who you are. And I believe if you grab a hold of the prophetic vision, you're going to run this year faster than you've ever run before. Sometimes you're going to leave people behind in your run. But that's okay. Hopefully they catch up. Some never will. And they'll be watching and seeing God's movement past them. But I refuse to be that person. I'm going to get all of God I can get, and I'm going to stay in his will and do his purpose. Can I hear an amen? Not as Pastor Spencer, as Michael Spencer. As Michael Spencer, I refuse. I absolutely refuse to let God pass me by. I'm going to get all I can get. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not part of the supernatural church. You can't pay for it. You can't beg for it. You can't be good enough for it. I'm going to say that one more time. You'll never be good enough to be saved. Salvation is free. What is salvation? Knowing you're a sinner. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, then sin is ruling your life. Sin is the separator from God. You cannot live in sin and go to heaven. So Christ came and he gave it all. He died on that cross. So that you can call on his name and be saved. So that you can say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. Wash my sins away. Make me a new man. Make me a new woman. I want to be like you. I want to serve you. I want to see my purpose come to fruition. That's why you're here. You're not just here because your friend invited you. You're here because God pulled you. Because your friend invited you more times than that, but this time you acted on it. Because God wanted you to hear this message about you. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I want to introduce you to the very best friend you'll ever have. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he will change your life from the inside out. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, you got to be brave. I say, I want God. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody thinks. I want Jesus. Thank you, sir. Anybody else this morning? Come on now. Get your hand up. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I'm excited. I don't know about you. I think we're going to have to design more than one kind of t-shirt. I want one with yellow on it. I want to go, I'm a bee. I just saw that bees are the most important insect on the planet. I want to be a bee. I want to pollinate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mindy's here. I'm going to have the rest of the prayer team come. I don't know what your need is, but I know this. These people have been trained in the supernatural. They know how to pray to get you through. God is moved by prayer, not by your hope, not by your need, not by your wish. He's moved by faith. These people will pray in faith with you, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. You'll see God move in your life. Today, the folks that raise their hand for salvation right after I dismiss, everyone's welcome to come up here, get saved. If you did not raise your hand, but you want to give your heart to the Lord, make your way right up here to Mindy. We'll see God change your life from the inside out. I want to pray a blessing over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this prophetic word to your church. I declare in Jesus' name, we are unstoppable, the supernatural church. I declare in Jesus' name that we will do great and mighty things for your kingdom, and that this entire region shall be saved for the glory of God. Lord, we need your creative ideas. We need your people to move in their gifts so that we can fulfill your very purpose on the planet before the trumpet of God sounds. So in Jesus' name, we speak blessing to your church to grow and mature. And everybody in agreement shouted, amen. I love you. Serve God with all of your hearts.
If not forsaken.